Don't wait for someone else to come get you and ask you if you want to come. If you need to come to this altar, if you need to bow at your seat, you just do it. So I encourage you tonight to do that if the Lord's tugging at your heart and you feel that conviction. But at the same time, if you are here and saved and you feel that tugging power as well, we want you to worship the Lord as well. We want you to have that liberty to worship Him as He leads your heart. So I want to give you that opportunity tonight before we go any further. Maybe someone's got a testimony, a word on their heart that they need to share. Maybe you got saved last night and haven't told anybody. That'd be a good way to start the service. If not, we are glad to see you, glad to be here tonight. If you have your Bibles, I want to turn to John chapter 4. I know last night we were in the third chapter of John, so we're just moving over one chapter. And this as well is another well-known chapter in the Scriptures. And most notably for the account of the woman at the well. And as I was preparing this message and as the Lord laid it on my heart, I don't so much want to focus on the interaction between Christ and the woman at the well. I want to look at what happened afterwards. That kind of goes a little unnoticed sometimes. But afterwards has a great profound effect that kind of ties the whole story together. That's kind of where I want to focus tonight. Over the last couple nights, I have tried my best to send out the warning. I have tried. Last night after I got done preaching, it took everything I had out of me. I was exhausted. But tonight, I have continually tried to sound the warning. I've tried to point you to Jesus Christ, the one who can take away that condemnation, the one who has paid the price for your iniquities. So I want to expand now, and I want to go a little more in depth on Him. Because He is your answer. Amen. He is the one who can take away that wrath. He is the one who has paid the price for you. So I want to start, and I just want to read a couple of verses right now. Starting in the fourth chapter, and I want to read at verse 28. After He has saved her and told her about the worship, and how to worship God in spirit and in truth. Starting in verse 28, it says, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, 'Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ?'" And the devil has been on me today about this message. He said, it's not going to be as powerful as the ones you preached last night. You might not want to preach it. You might not see the same reaction. It's not about condemnation. It's not about hell. But as I sat here and we heard that song, "People Need the Lord," the Lord said, "You got to preach it." So I'm urging you tonight. My same thought is the same thing that she said to these men. Come see a man. Come see a man who knows everything, who told her everything. He knew everything about her. And He told it to her. He knew everything that she had ever done, everything that she was doing. But guess what? He loved her anyways. I saw one place written that God, that Jesus Christ knows the most about you, but yet He's the one who loves you the most. Regardless of all the sin, of all the iniquities we talked about the last two nights, He is the one who loves you the most. And this man is the one who can make all that go away. He is the one who can take your place. He is the one who can take away it. Take away all that condemnation, all that wrath we talked about the last couple nights. He has provided that great atonement for your iniquities that we talked about. And we can go on and on. He is the one in whom the eternal life is found, as I preached about last night. So I encourage you, I urge you, I beseech you, if you will, come and know the man. Amen. Don't just come and see him. Come and know the man. There are a lot of great men in history that we can know about. You as kids, if you're in school, you can know about George Washington. You can know about Thomas Edison and all his great inventions. You can know about Abraham Lincoln. But I'm here to tell you, you can know the greatest man that ever walked the face of this earth. You can know him personally. You can know Jesus Christ tonight. You can have that personal relationship with him. And guess what? Not only can you know him, but he can know you back. He can call you by name as he does one of his sheep. He can call you by your name. He can reach out to you and call you and know you, and you will have a personal, intimate relationship with him. You can know him as your personal Savior. You can know him as your friend. So I encourage you tonight, come and know a man. Come and know a man called Jesus. And that's what I want to try to do tonight. I want to tell you about Jesus. I just want to tell you about him. Because you want to know about him. Because he's the one who can make everything go away that we talked about the last couple days. So I want to start from the very beginning. Come and know Jesus. And if you look in the scriptures, this might be a little off. You might not hear a sermon kind of built like this, the way the Lord's put it on my heart. But if you read back over the chapters of Acts and the sermons of the apostles, all they were trying to do was reveal Jesus Christ. They would start at the beginning with the prophecies and take him all the way through the resurrection. That's kind of what I want to do tonight. So I'm going to start with the very beginning. One thing you have to know. One thing you have to know about him is Jesus Christ is God. Amen. He is the Son of God. He was there in the beginning. You can read in the beginning was God. The Word was God and the Word was with God. He was there when the lights came on. He is the only man, I've said it before, he is the only man who has ever walked on this earth who knew what the darkness of eternity past was like. He was there when the lights came on. He knew exactly what he said, what happened. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He knows. He is God. He was there. And in him, nothing was created that all things were created by him and for him. And nothing was created that he did not create. He has created it all. And one of my favorite scriptures in the whole entire, in one of the verses, all the scriptures. He's talking to the Jews in John chapter 8, a couple chapters later. They're talking, you're 35 years old or so. How do you know Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. He was there. Even though he was of the seed of Abraham, he was there before Abraham. He created Abraham. He was of the seed of David, but he created David. He was there from the very beginning. He always is. He's eternal. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is preeminent over everything. Amen. He is God. So he is God. And we do have prophecy containing him. If you think Jesus Christ is only mentioned in the New Testament, you are missing half of it. He is revealed throughout the entire Old Testament. Amen. Everything in the Old Testament is a picture and is a shadow and is pointing to the cross. Amen. Everything is a picture of the Savior that would come. Everything. You look what Peter says in Acts chapter 3. He's talking about them sending Jesus Christ. He's preaching to the Israelites. He says, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Amen. Jesus Christ has been preached on the face of this earth since time began. Everything we have recorded. Now, we don't have everything recorded that happened during the creation and those events leading up to it and everything that goes on. But Jesus Christ is preached from the Garden of Eden. What happened when Adam fell? God said, I will put enmity between your seed and his. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. God preached the first message ever on the face of this earth. He told them the consequences of their sin. He told them the wrath that was to come for the punishment of their sin. But he told them the way out. Amen. He preached the gospel to Adam and Eve. Yeah. He pointed them to Jesus Christ. He was there in the Garden of Eden. So everything going all the way back to creation pointed to Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the man you need to know. This isn't just something that the New Testament has made up or created just to have something to write about. These aren't just great stories to hear about. These are actual real life accounts of the Savior who can take away the wrath. Amen. And you need to know him tonight. You need to be able to say, I'm leaving here and I know him personally. I know him. He has called me by my name. He has touched me and I know it was the hand of God. Amen. You need to be able to say that tonight. You can even go back. There's prophecy of him being born in Isaiah. We've all heard it. We all read it at Christmas time. But it's not just great at Christmas time. Knowing the prophecy of your Savior, knowing in Isaiah chapter 9 that a child will be born, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's not just Christmas to me. That is the Savior all the time. From the beginning of eternity till now, and throughout all of eternity, he is the Prince of Peace. He is wonderful. He is marvelous. He is the Everlasting Father. So even that prophecy, going all the way back to his birth. But he was born. He was born here in the flesh. He lived on this earth as a man. He knows. The scriptures tell us that he knows. Because he was tempted at all points like us. He knows. He was man. He was born of a woman. You can read about that in Galatians chapter 4. In the different places. He was sent forth the Son. Made of a woman. Made under the law. He was born of a virgin, though. We had to get that straight. He was born of a virgin. Amen. Mary was a virgin. She was pure and favored of God. Yes. He's broken. There had to be something that broke the sin curse. Yes. He did not have an earthly father. Do not let anybody tell you that. There's a lot. You will not believe some of the things I've heard the last couple of days. I will not even mention them from this pulpit. They are that disgusting. There are a lot of things going on there about the Trinity and different things. Do not believe anything that says that Jesus Christ is not part of the Trinity and that he was not born of a virgin. Please do not believe it. It is wrong.
Amen.
But he was made man. He was made flesh. And not just made flesh, but it was necessary for him to be made. It was necessary for him to be made flesh. You read in Hebrews chapter 2, he took on the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him. It was necessary. He needed to be made like his brethren.
Amen.
Why? So he could offer it as a high priest and make the reconciliation for the sins of the people.
Amen.
He had to be man for us. He needed to. It had to be man. There had to be a man that would pay the price. But he just wasn't any ordinary man. This is where we just kind of have to take it by faith. Because our human minds cannot fully comprehend this next part. Not only was he fully man, but he was fully God.
Yeah.
I can't understand it. I don't think anybody here can fully understand it. We can get a glimpse and have an idea and know that it happened, but how can we fully describe that he was fully God, fully man, and neither of the two were blended, and he was 100% God, 100% man, all in one flesh? I can't do it. No one else can. But it's real. It is true. He is God in the flesh. Hebrews chapter 1 says he is the express image. He is the exact copy. He is the exact image of God. Whereas we were created in the image of God. He had to take the image of a man to be able to walk amongst us. He was God. He had to take the image of flesh so he could even walk in amongst us. But there's only a choice few who got to see his glory. On the day of transfiguration, when they took him up on the mountain, there's only a choice for you. I think there's four that got to see who he really was. They got to see him. They got to hear God say, "This is my son who I'm well pleased." There's only a few who got to see his glory, but we know that the fullness of the Godhead dwelled within him.
Amen.
The fullness of the Godhead. And in this, he was able to fulfill the law. If he would have just been man, there's no way he would have been able to fulfill the law. He had to be God. God is the only righteous being in this whole entire world. He is the only one who could fulfill his own law. He had to be man. He had to fulfill it. That's the only way he could have. Because he had to fulfill the law. And he went about. He was doing signs and wonders and great miracles, just showing, trying to prove, trying to show these people, trying to show the nation of Israel trying to show these Jews and the Pharisees just who he was. I know there are some of you who Jesus Christ is trying to show you who he is. He's trying to show you that he is the Redeemer. He's trying to show you just that he can save you. But you just won't believe it. You won't turn it all over to him. You won't let go. Trust me, I have been there. I held on. I wouldn't let go for 9 years. I know what you're going through. It's tough, but you just have to do it. And I can't get you to that point. Your parents can't get you to that point. Mom, dad, boyfriends, girlfriends, wives, whoever cannot get you to that point. The only one who can give you the ability, the strength to just let go is God himself. You have to go to him. If one of your prayers has not been, God, give me the faith, I encourage you to pray that. Now, I'm not telling you a prayer to pray. But sometimes we need God to help us with our faith. Help us. He even said, I will pray. I believe there's one place he said, I will pray for your unbelief. Or help my unbelief. That's what he says. So he went about. He was God walking in the flesh. He was God and man all in the same body. As I said, I can't understand it. But as a man, in this flesh, he went to the cross. He went to the cross and died for yours, for mine, for everybody in this room, for this whole entire world's sins. He went to the cross. And not just did he go, he went willingly. He said, I will go. No man taketh it from me, but I have the power to lay it down. We're told in Isaiah that he went like a sheep dumb to the shearers. And that is, I've heard it said many times, that is the power of meekness. Or that's the ultimate show of meekness there. Here he is, the God in the flesh. He has all power. He says it in the scriptures. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. But yet he went willingly. He did not put up a fight. He did not say one single word going to that cross until it was finished. And his only complaint was, I'm thirsty. But he went willingly for you. Amen. Some of you will sit there and do not do anything. You're so stubborn. You will not make a move. But Jesus Christ went willingly for you. I put up some of the biggest fights going to this altar. All the time, Jesus Christ went willingly for me. Because he loved me. He went willingly to that cross while I sat there and fought it so hard sometimes. But he went willingly to die for you. I can't understand that either. Why he would willingly say, I will go. I will go for them. I will pay that price for them. God, pour out your wrath on me so they don't have to take it. And I'm willing to do it. Again, some of these things I'll never understand about him. But we just know they're true. And he was the more perfect sacrifice. He was, you can read over in Hebrews chapter 9, how they offered the sacrifices of blood and of goats and of bullocks. But all they would do would take away sins for a brief period of time. And they had to go and give them yearly. And even some of them had to be offered daily. But in Hebrews chapter 9, it says, oh, how much greater is the blood of Christ. How much greater it takes away the sins of the world for all time. He offers them an eternal redemption. It's in him tonight if you know him. And it's offered to you. This better sacrifice has been made on your behalf. It's been made on your behalf and God is satisfied with it. He said, yes. I will accept that sacrifice as the eternal payment. I will accept that sacrifice. And Jesus Christ made it once and for all and sat down at the right hand of God. Amen. Never more to make any more sacrifices. Perfecting those that he has sanctified forever. Amen. How much better is his blood? How much better? How much better is his blood that covers all your sins compared to whatever you're trying to do to get saved? If you're trying to work, if you're trying to bargain with God, if you're trying to say, God, I'll do this. I even heard one person say, I'll give up chewing gum if you save me. How much better is just going to the blood and getting it under the blood than giving up chewing gum? You got to go to the blood. He is the only source. It doesn't matter what you can offer God. He doesn't want it. The ultimate offer has already been made. You have nothing you can offer Him. Nothing. And this offering has been made. It is universal. Amen. There are doctors out there who tell you it's only for a certain group of people at a certain time and only certain people can be saved. No, that is absolute false. Do not believe it. I know that's not preached here, but it is something that is corrupting our churches and our doctrines, and it is false. This is a universal atonement. It says in the scriptures that He died for every man. He died for everyone, everybody that would ever walk on the face of this earth, every sin they would ever commit, everything can be covered by the blood, by everyone. This is limited atonement doctrine. I don't know where it came from, but it's false. Children, there's hope tonight, and your sins can be covered by the blood. I don't need to get fired up on Calvinism here. But He is the propitiation. He is the propitiation, as I said last night, not just for our sins, but the sins of the entire world. Everyone, it can be covered by the blood. And that's the thing, can be. I believe I saw one writer put it, the death, the sacrifice was universal, but it's so limited that only those who go through the blood will be saved. You've got to go through the blood. No one is going to be saved that did not go through Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the only way. His death is the only one that will cover your sins. Amen. He is the only one that you need to know to be saved. He satisfied the wrath of God. It says it again in Isaiah. God shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And he shall, his righteous servant shall justify many. There will be many that are saved because of His atonement. Now, the last couple nights, I focused a lot on His death and His paying the price for you. Because it's real. Amen. And it's a glorious story. And it's one of mercy and of love. And one of great pity on a sinner. There's one part I really haven't touched, and this is almost the best part of all, is that He is alive today. Amen. Jesus Christ is alive. He didn't stay on that cross. He didn't stay in that tomb. He rose 3 days later, and He ascended to the right hand of God. Amen. He is alive today, and He is still in the saving business. He is still on His throne making intercession for you. He is still there hearing your prayers and pleading your case to God. Amen. He is still there and is still open to you tonight. He is still inviting you. He is still calling you to come to know me. Come to know me. He wants to know you tonight. I love what it says in Revelations. He says, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Amen. I have the keys of death and hell. He has them tonight. You don't have to go to that place because He's already conquered death. He is alive and He is still, as it says in Romans chapter 8, yea, rather, even better than Him risen again, He sits and makes intercession for us. It just keeps getting better. It keeps getting better. He is there. He's making intercession for us. He is our high priest that cannot be touched or cannot be touched with our infirmities. We can go to Him when we need grace and mercy. In our time of need. I'm thankful that I've got an advocate with the Father up there tonight. I'm thankful for that. But lost friend, He is alive forevermore, but He's not going to stay on that throne forever. As I mentioned last night, He is coming back one day. Amen. He is coming back. He has prophesied it. He has told us about it. He promised it. He said, I will come and get you. Amen. As we sung last night, there's a great day coming. He is coming back. I'm thankful tonight that I that I preach the gospel of a risen Savior. There's a lot of people out there tonight, a lot of religions and denominations that are following the tactics or the thoughts and the principles of dead men. You could probably go to a grave somewhere and find Muhammad. You can probably go to a grave somewhere and find Buddha. Or any of these other ones or anybody else you can think of. But I'm thankful tonight that tomb is empty. I'm thankful tonight my Savior is alive and He is still in the saving business. I'm thankful tonight that He still sits there. He is alive forevermore. And one day that everlasting life that I talked to you about last night that started right over there, it will come to fruition and I will see His living face. And I shall see Him. We shall be made like He is made in 1 John chapter 3. I know I didn't quote that just right, but it's there. So, come and know this man tonight. Come and know Him. I don't think you really know what you're missing out on just because you haven't experienced yet. You ask a lot of people, they don't know just how good Jesus is until you've experienced Him. You don't really know what you don't have until you have Him. I look back on it a lot of times as I was sitting there lost. Why did I wait so long? Why did I fight so hard? Why did I not just give up that very first night I fell on conviction right there? Why did I just run? Why did I put up such a fight? He is the greatest joy. He fills me with His peace. Nothing can compare to knowing Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing. But yet we fight it. Some of us are just fight to fight it. We just want to put up a fight because we like conflict. We like to fight. We say, that's too easy. Just give it over to Jesus Christ and He'll take it all away. Yes, He will. As I mentioned the other night when I read the scriptures, that nothing is too hard for Him. Nothing is too hard for God. Salvation's not too hard. We're the ones who make it hard. It's hard for us. It's hard for us to diligently seek after something. It's hard for us to diligently or forsake everything we know and come to Him. That's hard. Our human flesh wants to hold on to these things. Salvation's hard for us. I'll be honest with you. It's hard, but He tells us. That's why He tells us to strive. Diligently seek. You got to put everything you have into it. You have to be willing to let go of everything in this world. And just look to Him. But that's hard for us. Our flesh wants to fight against it. I encourage you tonight, don't fight it. Don't fight it. Come and know the man who is the bread of life. Come and know the man who will satisfy every hunger you've ever had. I'm not talking about a fleshly hunger. He will satisfy the hungering in your soul right now that you're looking for. That you are just trying to find something to fill it. He will satisfy every hunger. He is the bread of life. And as we look, He will satisfy your thirst as well, just as He did this woman at the well. He will satisfy you with water that will spring forth and you'll never thirst again. He can give that to you. Come and know the man who is the light of the world. He was the true light. Come and know the man who is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to God but by Him. Come and know Him tonight. Come and know Him. Come and know this good shepherd. I'm thankful tonight that He leads me. He keeps me calm. He leadeth me beside still water. He is my good shepherd tonight. Is He yours? He told us there are other sheep that are not in this flock that I must go and get. And they'll hear my voice. Lost friend, you are not in that flock yet, but He's probably calling to you tonight. He's probably calling you, come to Me. I will be your shepherd. I will let you in my flock. You can be with all these others. You can be with Me. Let Me lead you. Let Me guide you. Come and know this good shepherd. He wants to put you in that flock. Come and know. Come and know the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Come and know Him. Come and know Him as your Savior. Come and know this man who He's the only name under heaven whereby you must be saved. Any other man you know, there is not salvation in them. He is the only way. He is the only man that can make the wrath of God roll away. I'm glad I know Him tonight. Glad I know Him. Glad He calls me by my name to bless me or to chastise me when I get out of the way. And I'm thankful that He left the fold of 99 to go and find that one those times I've gone astray. I'm thankful He's left me. He's come and got me. He won't let you stay out there long if you're running tonight. Especially if you're saved and you know where you're supposed to be. And you're out there and you're straying, He'll come and get you. I believe I've heard someone preach one time, the shepherd, when he goes and picks up that lamb, he'll break his leg so he can't run off again. But he'll nurse him back to health. He'll take care of him. He'll make sure that leg gets fixed and that lamb will not want to get back out there again. I've had my leg broke. There's nothing better than knowing Jesus Christ and being in His flock and staying there. There's no better life. Oh, what a shepherd He is. I could go on and on. Oh, how great of a Savior He is. How great of a Savior He is. I feel right now like it says in the last verse of this book of John, that words or books could not contain all the miraculous works that He did. Sermons cannot contain everything that He did. If I tried to do it, you guys would not like me very long. It'd be the longest sermon ever. But I encourage you tonight, come and know Him. Words cannot express how good He is. You just have to experience it for yourself. I love this, the verse that it says in Psalm. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You got to try it though. You've got to come to Him. You got to come to Him. So that's the man you need to know. That's the man that's calling you tonight. That's the man I want to show you tonight. That's all I want to do. I prayed to God today, just let me show Jesus Christ to them. That's all I want to do. And the devil got on me because I wanted to do that. He got on me. He said, you don't want to preach that tonight. I just want to show you Jesus Christ. I hope you don't see me. I hope you see Jesus Christ. But I want to go, and I'm going to close here in just a second. I want to go. Now that this lady at the well has ran back into the city and told these men, come and see the man who told me all these great things. Is this not the Savior of the world? I'm going to go on. I'm going to turn over and now read starting in the 39th verse of this same chapter. He says, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed on Him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto Him, they besought Him that He would tarry with them, and He abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of His own word. And I want you to pay attention to this verse. Verse 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him for ourselves. We have heard Him for ourselves and know that He is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. They didn't just take her word for it. They went to Him themselves. They were not going to be saved based on her testimony. They were not going to be saved just because she told them. They were not going to be saved because, oh, it sounds like a good account that we might just go on and talk to Him. No, she shared her testimony. It convicted them in the heart. They had to go experience. They had to go and know Him for themselves. They had to go and know this man. See what it's all about. But they went because of her testimony. Church, we must share our testimony. You never know what your testimony will do. Your testimony might be the exact thing that someone needs to hear. It's the scripture saying, Psalms 107, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Not just proclaim that we're saved, which is good enough in its own. But you look down, there's four different instances of specific details of just exactly how the Lord redeemed them and what He redeemed them out of. Give details. People need to know exactly what that moment felt like when the burden of your heart rolled away. Tell them about the peace. Tell them about the conviction. Tell them exactly just how close to hell you were. They need to know it. Scriptures say, always, always be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you. Always be ready to point. Your testimony needs to point people to Jesus Christ, just as this lady's did. If your testimony points to anything else other than Jesus Christ, please be quiet. People need to see Jesus Christ in your testimony. We'll point. We'll do everything that we can to point a lost soul to Christ. Everything that we can. We want to point you to Jesus Christ. And your testimony can be a big help. But at some point they need to hear the gospel. Some point they need to hear the gospel. If they're going to be saved, it's because they experience His salvation and not your experience. They need their own. They need to have their own experience. They need to hear, no matter how great your testimony is, they need to hear about conviction. They need to hear about the atonement. They need to know about this man, Jesus Christ, that I tried to tell you about tonight. That He died for them. That he was crucified for their sins. They need to hear that. The gospel needs to be intertwined within your testimony. Because He told us to go and preach the word, not just go and share our testimonies. He told us to preach the word. He told them in Mark, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Peter even said to Cornelius, he said, He commanded us to preach. Not just give an experience. Now, Paul, he gave his experience a lot of times in the scriptures. But guess what? It was always followed up with it. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He followed it up. He showed the gospel to them. Not just his experience. His experience should confirm everything that the gospel says. So let them go hand in hand. If I stood here tonight and just told my testimony, you guys would get sick of it after 3 days. But I want to try to tell you about the gospel. I want to try to tell you about Jesus Christ. That's all I want to do. My testimony, if the Lord leads me, I'll fit it in if I can. But I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. I want to point you to Him. And I love this verse 42. They believe for themselves. Lost friend, if you're ever going to be saved, you have to believe for yourself. As I said last night, it's a personal trust in a personal Savior. It's personal. No one can do it for you. You cannot stand on anybody else's own experience. These men were not going to be saved because the lady just told them about her or because she was saved. They had to go to the man. They had to go and see for themselves. They had to come away knowing Him. And what do they say happened? They went to Him and they said, "Indeed, we know that this is the Christ, the Savior of the world." You can come away tonight. I know this is Christ. I know this is the Savior of the world. And not just I know He is my Savior. You can be as Job said, "I know my Redeemer lives." You can know it tonight. He wants to know you. He wants to have that personal relationship with you. But you have to do it for yourself. You can't be saved because mom wants you to be saved, because your wife wants you to be saved. You have to be saved because you want to be saved more than anything in this world, because you want to know Jesus Christ. That's where the power of salvation comes in, when it gets that personal. You're not going to find it any other way. It's got to be personal to you. You've got to want to be saved because you know you're going to hell. You've got to be saved because you know He is your Savior and you put Him up there and He died for you. Aaron, let's get a song. I'm going to use another Pilgrim's Progress reference. It's a good book. Read it. Christian, he on his journey, he meets and he talks with all these people. And all of them are just helping him along his way. He's run into some distractions and some enemies that have tried to discourage him. He's met some, including evangelists and some other characters that have continued and helped him on his way. But he leaves the house of the interpreter. And you know what it says in that book? He started down the road and a hedge was on both sides. There is a protection around him so he could get to the cross. There is a protection around him to where no enemies could get him. There is a protection around him to where no one can come jumping over the sides and try to stop him. There is a protection where it's just him walking down the road. And he gets to the cross and it's just him and the cross. I believe this is one of the only scenes, if not the only scene in the whole entire book, where he is not talking to anybody. It is him and Jesus Christ on the cross. It's that personal. You have to go, you and Christ. That's all you need. If you're ever going to get saved, that's how personal it's got to get. And I truly believe 100% with everything that I have, when you get to that point, he will put up a hedge around you. You will not care. You will not know who is around you, who's talking to you, what songs they are singing. He'll put that protective hedge around you and he'll help you get to that cross. I truly believe it. But you have to start down that road. You have to start down that road where it's so personal that you're going to do whatever it takes because you need to know the Savior. Amen. And not stop until you're going to get there. Christian could have stopped at any moment and turned back. He faced people who were turning back left and right. But he had to get rid of that burden. He had to get rid of it. And he got to that cross and it was personal. He saw the Savior there for him. He saw the Savior there, just him and Christ. That's what he saw. He was by himself. It was that personal. And I pray to the Lord that it's that personal to you tonight. That he is calling you. That he's cutting you in the heart. He's calling you to know him tonight. He's calling you to say, give me every burden, give me every care. I pray he is cutting you and he's calling you. If he is, make your way down that road. Set your heart towards that cross and just get there. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything deter you. You just get to that cross no matter how you can. You just get there and you kneel at his feet and you give it all to him. That's the only advice I can give you. I know it's not much, but that's the only advice I can give you is just go to Jesus. But it's some of the best advice you'll ever get. So I encourage you tonight as we sing, go to Jesus. Know him tonight.